This is the Rich Dad Radio Show. The good news and bad news about money. Here's Robert Kiyosaki.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm here with my best buddy here, Ken McElroy. And we're talking about our favorite subject, the subject of investment real estate. And this is a very important podcast, especially the world situation we're in right now. At the end of this program, the reason it's important is because if you're going to invest in real estate, you'd better have some good mentors, good coaching, good guidance. So real estate requires very special, much higher levels of financial education, sophistication, and experience. A lot of my friends are real estate agents.
Yeah, the new ones, they just don't know. They think everything's going to go up. And in a lot of cases, it has, Robert. I mean, if you were in real estate 8 or 9 years ago, all you've seen was it go up. And so you probably think you're pretty smart about now.
What really happened, as you know, is that the Federal Reserve Bank and the Treasury, they just started printing more money than ever before in the history. So this is called the everything bubble. And from some of the more people I respect, they say this is the biggest bubble in world history. And it is in dollar amounts. And if history repeats itself, this is going to be the biggest crash in history. Now, for many people, it's going to be the worst thing ever happens to them. But for Kenny and me, it's the best time to buy more real estate after the crash.
It requires wisdom and study and experience. You have to go through a couple crashes in order to learn a little bit.
And at the same time, we're going to make a lot more money from real estate, aren't we?
Yeah, because the crashes all have things that are similar each and every time.
Yeah.
So if you know what you're watching and you know what you're looking for, then I think you can be on the right side of it and make a lot of money.
So let me tell you how I met Kenny. Was after I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I said some very 25 years ago, I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad this year. And I said such stupid things as, savers are losers. Man, I got attacked by every loser out there. New York Times came after me. How can you say savers are losers? Then I said, your house is not an asset. Oh, how can you say that? You know, I was living at the Point on 16th Street in Phoenix. And I was on this TV show, a local TV show in Phoenix. And I said, your house is not an asset. And I walked in for breakfast after the TV show. And I got mobbed by these two women came after me. You don't know what you're talking about. My house is an asset. It's the biggest asset I have. I'm going, okay. No, they're screaming at me. I'm going, okay. I won't say it anymore. And the third thing is the rich don't work for money. So those are the three things. Savers are losers. Your house is not an asset. And the rich don't work for money. Those are three very important points that came out in Rich Dad, Poor Dad 25 years ago. And today, Rich Dad, Poor Dad remains the number one personal finance book in history. But I had to go through hell listening to everybody else. And then I met Kenny one day because everybody was flipping back then.
Yeah, everyone.
And I said, so Kenny comes up to me and I said, well, Kenny, you're a flipper. He goes, no, I don't flip. I went, Kenny was the first guy I met that didn't flip property.
It's hard to find good property. And I like to cash flow it. I was searching for cash flow, passive income. I wanted to work hard, but I wanted my property and my money to work hard too.
Yeah.
So I knew that if I sold something that I really, had a tough time finding, I just have to do it again.
Have we ever sold anything yet?
Yeah, we've sold some things, but not very much.
Non-performing.
I would say in every case, we start out with the fact that we're going to hold.
We hold long.
Long time.
I mean, Kim and I have a plan that we're going to fold all of our properties, which we have a lot of properties, and oil wells and businesses into what's called a CRT, a Charitable Remainder Trust. And that'll be one of those big foundations that goes on for perpetuity, giving the money back to society. So we don't plan to just flip it and sell it. And that's what most stupid investors do, because the moment you flip a property, you have tax problems, right?
You know, a lot. That's why when we've sold, we've done a 1031 tax deferred exchange and bought something bigger. Yeah. So you can sell and you can defer tax through a 1031 exchange. That's just one of the many things that you can learn about real estate. You don't have to pay tax. You don't have to pay the capital gains on a transaction. You can use the equity and the momentum that you've gotten already from something and move it into the next big deal.
Robert Kiyosaki is the best-selling author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Attend Robert's free virtual wealth building event. Claim your free access now at richdadfree.com. Go to richdadfree.com.
It's time to get smarter. So you're doing the smart thing by watching this program right now, especially if you've never invested in real estate before. The most important thing you can do is learn from people who have done it before. So we don't sell property, we sell education. So with that said, it's been an interesting journey, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah. It has been the best. We've made so much money. So there's always good things and bad things, but just realize that it's not, you don't just buy it and flip it, or you buy it and hold, because it's a very sophisticated product. Anything else you want to say about the mistakes that people make when they first get started?
Well, there's so many. The first one is that they think that they need their own money. That's actually the biggest one that I hear the mostly. And I get it. Like, I was that way. I believed that I had to save and that I needed that money for a down payment. And that is the traditional way. But the reality is there's so much money looking for good deals. If you have the education to see those good deals.
And track record.
Yes. And track record and team. You if you can see those deals, the money flows in. As we like to say, you know, the bigger the brochure, the worse the deal.
Yeah. Well, Ken and I came across that during the real estate boom. We were speaking with Donald Trump on stage.
Yeah.
Before he was running for president, he was running for real estate guy. And we go to these big conferences, all these real estate conferences, and they had this most elaborate brochures trying to sell you a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
And so that set up a role for us.
Yeah. Well, we were walking through the booths. And, you know, when we travel around,
it's pre-2008.
It's fun to do, you know, walk around and see what people are, you know, there are people buying all over the world and people converting member cruise ships into condos and all this stuff going on all the time. There's always some crazy ideas out there. Some of them are really, really good. And so we gathered all these brochures and we went back into the green room. And we were just looking at them, and I was like, "Man, the big ones over here; those are the toughest ones. Those are the hardest deals to make sense of financially." And of course, they were, because they were $2, $3, $4, $5 per brochure.
Yep. And then we have our friend John McGregor, who handles our paper assets.
Yeah,
he says the same thing. He says the more you see these ads on television, like John. Ken and I don't really know stocks, so I shouldn't say anything, but John McGregor just goes nuts when he sees Fisher Investments. He says,
"Yeah,
how can anybody be that stupid and believe them?" But people do. You know, without any financial education, I'm not saying Fisher is good or bad, but John hates them. He says they're lying to the people. And I'm going, I don't know. But Ken and I say the same thing when we're going through these real estate shows. These massive brochures, like they cost, like he says, $5 to $10 each.
Yep.
And the bigger the brochure or the more the advertising they did, the worse.
If you think about it, it's true. Like, I mean, most good deals that we do are kind of like tonight we're going to dinner after this. And, you know, we'll sketch something out on a napkin. the paper napkin is notorious for putting good deals together.
I mean, how many brochures have you sent me?
None. I mean, it starts with the napkin, and then the brochure for us, our business plans are based around the deal already being done. So it's more of a plan, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 year plan than a pitch for equity. The equity most of the time comes in and the business plan formulates it. You got to have a business plan for the lender, but most sophisticated investors get the deals. And
what Kenny is always looking for is the train wreck that some amateur investor, I call him the skipper of the Titanic. I listen to some of these guys, I got into a big fight with Grant Cardone and because he was saying, if you're a real estate investor, start with $20 million in a 200 unit apartment house. I'm going, you don't start there. He says, yeah, you're not a real man if you don't start there. I'm going, but we've seen guys do that. They go and buy a $20 million property. It crashes or they can't manage it and people vacate it. Remember that one that was at San Antonio?
Yeah, remember, we still own that.
Yeah, and it was the worst property I've ever seen. I walk into the first unit, there's a toilet sitting in front of the fireplace. And yeah. Kenny's going, what a great deal.
It's yeah.
A toilet in front of the fireplace.
Well, it was owned by the lender. So one of the big banks owned this property. They had gotten it back. It was 40% vacant, which means it did not cash
and flow. Accelerating down.
Yes. And it was full of some bad people. So, but located right incredibly right in front of USAA, which right. is one of the biggest employers in San Antonio.
And hospitals too.
Yeah. That. Yeah. And so it was all around healthcare and the insurance industry. And I knew it was a tough one, but it would take a couple of years to turn around. And I think we did it in a year and a half. And, you know, we had, you got to rent 400 units, the first couple of years to do it.
So Kenny walked me through it. I'm white knuckly going, this is the most horrible thing I've ever seen in my life. But the guy that sold it to me was your builder. What was his name?
Yeah. His name was also Ken.
Ken.
Yeah.
This guy looked at it. He goes,
yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking, this thing is going to fall down. He's going, this is wonderful.
Yeah. And that's what we do though, Robert. I mean, that's, you have to have the team for that. You have to go find those. If you think about it, you don't really make a lot of money on buying something and hoping the market goes up. You make money on seeing something that nobody else sees or taking over somebody else's problem. You're solving somebody's problem.
Well, also what Kenny said, the reason it was a good deal was not the property, was, as Kenny always says, real estate depends on jobs.
Yes.
And there were solid jobs, hospitals and insurance companies right next to this property.
Yep.
So Kenny could see things the average guy cannot see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, real estate exists for people, not the other way around. So if there's no people, you're not going to do very well.
So let me say, so the thing I'm concerned about today, prior to 2020, 40% of all Americans had less than $1,000 in savings. And the moment the price of oil went up, food goes up. And today what's happening, so the retail market is collapsing because the American consumer doesn't have any money because they're paying more for gasoline and they're paying more for food. So how is that a good deal? Well, they have to rent. Isn't that true?
That's right. Yeah. I did a video recently on my YouTube channel. I called it Renter Nation.
Yep.
And there are different presidents in history, really everywhere, have different policies on housing. And so back in the early 2000s, Bush's was everyone should own a home. Well, that created the crash that we had.
Boom and bust, yeah.
And we've never really recovered. And now we have an affordability issue that's going to keep people out of single family. It's going to push them right into rentals.
Well, the millennial generation and their kids, it doesn't look like they'll be able to buy.
No.
And the problem is BlackRock and those guys, those big private equity guys, hedge funds came in. They bought all the single families up because they realized, well, Kenny and I realized that's really renting property is better than owning property.
That's right. Yeah. And they're moving money into hard assets.
Right.
To try to get, inflation's big. So it's the highest it's been in years. And so if you're a company like that and you're sitting a lot of cash, and they are, you want to move it into hard assets, and real estate is a hard asset.
So remember what I said, savers are losers. And the reason savers are losers, this is back 25 years ago in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, is what caused the bubble is because, especially after the 2020 election and COVID, they printed $10 trillion.
I know.
But then again, they can't afford their houses. They can only afford to rent. So that's why I said savers are losers. Your house is not an asset, because I think they're going to push the interest rates up. And a lot of people who just bought property recently, hoping the price will go up, what happens if they raise interest rates on your house? What happens to the value?
So traditionally, when rates go up, a value of real estate goes down.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to work. You know, hopefully people that have been studying your stuff, my stuff, they're in fixed rate debt, they're in hard assets, they're in cash flowing real estate, and they're on the right side of this. Because the truth is, there are going to be people on both sides.
Right. And the other thing I said, well, number one, was that savers were losers. Why would you save money when the government's dropping interest rates and printing trillions of dollars?
It doesn't make any sense when you're getting paid 1% in the bank, but you're losing to inflation. It just, the math does not make sense. It doesn't work. But for some reason, people are choosing not to pay attention to those kinds of things.
Because they're losers. Because they listen to stupid people like my poor dad. You know what I mean? People who have no idea on money. When I said savers are losers 25 years ago, I got attacked. I said, your house is not an asset. I got attacked. And I said, the rich don't work for money. Then every communist said, oh, all you guys don't think about is money. Well, Kenny and I don't use money. We use debt, right? You know, the reason savers are losers is because debt is a better way of buying, right?
We're just playing a big game.
Yeah.
Just like Monopoly, just like we did when we were kids. It's the same formula.
So how deeply in debt are we?
I have no idea, but I want to say that it's probably 700 or 800 million.
I think it's over $1 billion.
It could be.
You see, the thing is that if you go, well, all coins have three sides, heads, tails, and the edge. So most people are on the side that say, oh, you should save money. But Kenny and I are the opposite of the side. We should use debt. And intelligence is standing on the edge of the coin saying, well, which side is right? You know, should I be saving money today? Let's see. Biden printed $10 trillion. You know, the price of oil is going up. Why would I save money? No. You should save money. And on the other side of the coin, Kenny and I are borrowing money. So that's why my friend Dave Ramsey, he says, live debt-free. Dave's a friend of mine, but I tell him straight to his face. That's the worst advice you could give anybody today.
Yeah, it's not good advice. It just follow the math. Like, that's it. And study history, because it's happened before, it'll happen again. And, you know, during these inflationary times, you're right, Robert. People are moving backwards. They're looking at their dollars in the bank and they think that they're safe, but they're eroding from inflation. We had a guy on this morning. I did a live this morning, and he lives in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and he said that they're 50 to 80% inflation. He said when they get their paychecks, they convert them into US dollars. I said, man, that's rough. If you're doing that, you're actually converting them. You're just trying to hedge inflation from your own inflation. But, it's tough. You need to be in hard assets if you're going to survive this.
Yeah. And the key is hard assets. I don't own oil stocks. I own oil wells. There's a very big difference. So every time that thing goes up and down like this and pumps out a gallon of a barrel of oil, I get paid. But other people, I got Exxon stock, I got Chevron stock. And the problem with that was interest rates go up, the stock market is going to come down. When the stock market comes down, gold, silver comes with it, you know, everything comes with it. But those with hard assets like cash flowing real estate and oil and stuff like that, money just keeps coming in. To me, that made sense. So that was my rich dad's side. And my poor dad's side was you should get a job. Buy a house because it's an asset. Get your PhD and put your money in the stock market. I just don't do that because my rich dad taught me differently. My rich dad was on the other side of a three-sided coin, heads, tails, and the edge. And what Kenny and I are saying today is stand on the edge of the coin and look at both sides. I mean, is that correct?
You have to look at both sides because this too will change.
Yeah.
And something will happen again. And you just have to evaluate it and see which direction it's going. Right now, we're just investing in things that people want and hold value. So things like timber, water, land, food, gold, silver, real estate. Those are things that are going to hold their value.
Remember, in 2020, 40% of the U.S. population didn't have $1,000, but also it forced more people to become renters. And that's driving up the price of rent because the cost of building a new apartment house is through the roof, right? New construction is horrible.
As a result of that, we're severely short on supply. So the demand has hit. The supply has not kept up. So for the last 20 years, we're a little over 5 million housing units short. 5 million. And it's just, you can't make that up. Now, that's for the USA, but every market is a little bit different. But there, if you just Google it, just say how many housing units are we short? And it's been averaging somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 a year for 20 years short. So it's in bad shape right now. And the demand is there. And now with this supply chain issue and the cost of goods going up, you can't really build housing affordably. So there's now a massive gap between what's affordable and you can't build housing that's too expensive. And so it's gonna really be a problem for us.
And this is a global problem.
Yes.
So the point here is the reason Kenny and I got together, I asked him to write three books for us.
Yep.
And what were the three basic, because there's three basic books. If you're going to go into real estate, it's not like having a 401k. And speaking of 401ks, when the stock market crashes, my generation, the boomer generation, we're toast. Because the boomer generation was the first generation with a 401k. It happened in 1974 when the Fed and the Treasury and the government passed the thing called the ERISA Act, Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And the government says income security, you know, you're screwed. But that was a 401k. So when the stock market crashes, just as my generation starts to retire, they're toast.
That's right.
And they're going to start selling their houses because that's all they got, right?
Yeah. Well, that's where their wealth is going to be.
So back in 1973, when I came back from Vietnam, my poor dad, the poor guy, you know, Robert, I want you to go back to school, get your master's degree. I said, I hated school. Why would I go back and get my master's degree? And then he says, and then you get your PhD. I said to my poor dad, who was the head of education for the state of Hawaii, head of the teachers unions, you know, it's one of the reasons I started investing with Kenny is I make so much money. I've got to call Kenny. I said, Kenny, I need about $4 million in debt. Why do I want debt for taxes?
Well, first of all, tax is the biggest expense in your entire life.
Right.
There's no question about that. Nobody can dispute that. So the IRS actually, in their tax code, they have a series of pages that tell you what they want you to invest in.
Yeah.
And one of those is housing.
Real
estate. Other ones, oil and gas.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's all kinds of, there's wind, there's solar. Those get tax breaks.
Yeah.
So you just followed what they told you to do. And in my case, I was the recipient of that. One of them was real estate. And so we use debt. And you guys use debt. Most people use debt when they buy a home. Or a car, let's say. Yeah, you don't usually pay all cash. There are plenty of countries that still you have to actually have the whole amount. But in the U.S., there's debt. And what that really is, it's OPM or other people's money. That money is from the bank, but guess where the bank gets the money? From the savers. So the savers give the money to the bank. The bank gives the money to us and we buy real estate with it. And they pay you 1%. They charge me 5%. And then I make sure my renter can cover it all. So that's the system. That's how it works.
Somebody thought how the tax works is I make so much money. The purpose of an entrepreneur is to start a business to buy real estate. People say, I'm going to save the world. So, no, you start a business so you can buy real estate. So let's say I make $1 million in my business. I've got to call Kenny up and I say, Kenny, I need $5 million in debt.
Right.
Why do I need $5 million in debt? Is because when I take his $5 million in debt from a property he buys, my property goes to $6 million.
Right.
And then I depreciate the property at $6 million.
Correct.
Real estate is the best. I think the best of all tax dodges there is.
I haven't seen anything better yet. I'm still looking, but it is. The government, again, needs housing. They need that
more than ever.
They've done a horrible job trying to do it themselves. Yeah. So they push it down to the private sector and give us all kinds of tax benefits and all kinds of things. So when we produce housing, that's good for them. And they reward us with tax breaks.
And when we create jobs, and how many employees do you have?
About 300.
Yeah. And I make sure everything I invest in has jobs in it.
Yes.
So because I'm investing in Kennington, it's got a lot of jobs. My oil company has a lot of jobs. Real estate company, I mean, my business companies have a lot of jobs. I get tax breaks. So everything they tell you to do in school, that's what I was talking about my poor dad. He said, now go to school.
Yeah.
Get a job. Save money. Get your PhD and go broke. I'm going, are you freaking nuts?
Having an open mind with what is happening at the moment. So, you know, things changed, you know, the pandemic. So you start to layer up these things and you just watch what happens as a result of those things. And then you take action based on those things. So when, I don't know, you know, before Biden, I never even heard of $1 trillion bailouts. You know, we were always in the B's. So, but then, all of a sudden you're like, wow, okay, you put
and
that
savers much, became losers.
Yes, you put that much money into an economy, what's going to happen? And that's what we were studying. Okay, what happens when you dump that much money onto an economy? And a lot of those things have come true. But one of the things that we did is we got into fixed rate debt. So I fixed all of my debt thinking that you can't dump that much money into an economy without pretty high inflation. And it took, you know, I wasn't sure I was right, but we did that anyway, based on what was happening. And, you know, who cares if I fix my debt, you know, because I had floating debt too. So I fixed the debt. Now I look like, you know,
a genius. So the reason I invest with Kenny, he's really the best at managing debt. And if you're going to do what we talk about, use debt as money, you better be as good as Kenny. So that's why I was very happy when he wrote his three basic books. He has more books than that. But the ABCs of real estate investing and the advanced guide, which is how to use debt as money.
Yep.
And number three is property management, because you have to have property management. So those are three books. And if you're going to be a real estate investor, definitely don't buy from somebody who has their picture on a real estate card. Another thing too is my first real estate class was 1973. And because my rich dad said, if you're going to be rich, you have to understand real estate. The purpose of being an entrepreneur is to buy real estate, not to buy a house, but to buy real estate. So it was long before I met Ken. So I'm still in the Marine Corps. I just came back from Vietnam. And I took my first real estate course. And the instructor gave me the best advice all. He's a real estate investor. He says, I want you to look at 100 properties and write 100 reports.
Nice.
On why the thing is good or bad. I was like, why did I do that? But that's the discipline. You have to look at least 100 properties, write a report, what's good, what's bad about it. And that's how I learned. And then all of a sudden, I started to see things the average guy could not see, because they're trying to buy a house. It's got a nice bedroom. It's got a kitchen. I'm not looking at the kitchen or the bedroom. I'm looking at the value of the property. So after 100 properties, I went, oh, my God. So there was this one property on the island of Maui, and most people say, well, Maui's expensive, and it is. But the property on the island of Maui was a bad investor, dropped the whole property, and I bought my first rental unit. I already had an apartment, a condo in Waikiki. But I buy this condo in Maui. It was $18,000, nothing down. So I had $18,000 in debt.
Yeah, on day one.
And I made $25 from debt. It changed my life.
Yeah.
And so today, because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm making more and more money. It's now in the millions, not 25. I have to give Kenny the money, because he knows how to take debt and turn it into income. And the more he does that, the less tax I pay. So that's why Kenny's books are essential if you're going to do this. Rich Dad's World will talk to you about how there's additional programs you can learn what we're talking about today, because you're going to use debt and pay no taxes. you really better know what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Oh, you have to. Yeah. It's a lot of people are getting into real estate because they feel like the commissions, you know, as you like to say, they're working for tips, you know, a real estate commission. But they're flipping, they're buying something and then selling it, moving to the next thing. There's a tremendous amount of tax associated with that. There's a tremendous amount of work associated with that. Nothing wrong with making money that way. But if you really want to invest for the long term and get out of the rat race and not have money be a claim on your life or your time, then you have to think of strategy a little bit different. And that's invest more for the long term and try to get some of this passive income as opposed to active income, which is your W-2 or commission or you showing a house. Passive income is, you know, I have 10,000 renters. I'm sure they're paying today while we're on this show, while I'm sleeping. You know, it's called mailbox money. And that's what we're trying to teach.
When oil went from $30 to $100, cash is pouring into my account.
Yep.
And the thing about oil, because the government wants people to drill for oil, I don't pay tax.
That's right.
And that's what's called financial education. And when I wrote Rich Dad Poor Dad 25 years ago, I said, what does school teach you about money? The answer is nothing, because they want you to be stupid and work hard and pay a lot of taxes. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because real estate is, in my opinion, the best of all investments. I mean, if everybody can do real estate, not everybody can drill for oil.
Right, right.
But you can do real estate. So Kenny has three books, the ABCs of real estate, the advanced guide and property management. But you still best have a coach, because my rich dad was my coach. And that's what Rich Dad's World is guide you through the process. Because real estate is, you don't just take a real estate course, do you? I mean,
No. It all boils down to the math, and you don't need the money. And why wouldn't you buy something that your tenant pays off for you and you get cash flow and you get tax breaks and you build up a passive income to the point where you don't have to work anymore? I mean, that's what everybody wants.
Yeah. Part of financial education is there's three types of income. Ordinary income. Ordinary income is when you go and get a job. So that's about 40%. So you make $1 million, you pay about $400,000 in taxes. But a doctor, because they're self-employed, will pay about 60% in taxes. So a doctor, if they make $1 million, will pay $600,000 in taxes. So that's ordinary income. And then there's passive income. And passive income is what we work for.
That's right. That's all I work for, actually.
Yeah, passive. And then there's portfolio income. And the reason portfolio income is important to know is that's what flippers work for.
Yeah.
So let's say I buy a property for $100,000 and it goes to $1 million and I sell it for $1 million, that's called capital gains, right?
Yep. That's what people are doing right now.
So flippers pay the second highest taxes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's actually good for the government. It's good for them. They get some walking around money. But again, they have to do it again. That's the problem.
You find a good property, you want to hang on to it, right?
Yeah, the reward for doing a good job.
Bigger job.
A bigger job. Money. Yeah. So I did that in my youth. And the next thing I knew, I was like, man, I just worked my butt off for 10 years and I don't have hardly anything to show for it other than a bigger house, nicer cars, and a little bit of cash in the bank.
Yeah.
I was like, there has to be a better way.
So after 20, you know, when I met Kenny about 25 years ago, he doesn't flip property. I was like, oh my God, there's one more sane person in the world. Because I made that mistake too. I didn't flip a property. This guy offered, I didn't do it intentionally. But they offered me so much money for a property, then I had tax problems.
I know. It happened to me too.
And then I couldn't find another property.
Imagine if you still own that condo and $18,000. Wow. What do you think that thing's worth now? Millions.
And then we don't have to sell it we can borrow the money out.
Yeah. The bank will give you debt on it. That's called a cash out refi, which is tax free.
And that's what Kenny teaches.
Yeah.
It's called the advanced guide.
That's right.
It's how you use debt to get richer.
That's right.
But don't do it unless you study and have a good coach.
Because you can do it again and again and again and again. And actually, it's a system.
So just think about this. As Ken and I are sitting here, we have tens of thousands of renters sending us checks every month.
Yep.
Most of it tax-free. And plus with all my oil wells, money keeps pouring into my account tax-free also. And what my poor dad said to me was, just go to school, get a job, get your master's, get your PhD, become a good, hardworking man and pay your taxes. And then you wonder why today the Gap is in trouble. You know, the Gap's clothing store, because they can't afford to go shopping. They don't have discretionary income. Now, the good news is a lot of commercial properties probably will come online, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, they have a gap in their income, apparently. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you just got to pay attention to where things are heading and then be on the right side of it. But yes, retail is definitely in trouble. Commercial office is definitely in trouble. Malls are definitely in trouble.
Renters are in trouble.
Renters are in trouble.
Because the cost of construction is going through the roof.
Yeah. If you own multifamily, you're going to be, or any kind of rental, you're going to be just fine in the, you know, at least in the near term. So, you know, there's a lot. Industrial is doing very, very, very well. So what they call last mile industrial, which is, you know, like think of Amazon when everybody wants, you know, something like in an hour now. So that has to store somewhere. So
warehousing is doing
warehousing's well. Doing really well. Well.
So, and so that's why in 1973, I was a Marine pilot in Vietnam, and I came home and my poor dad again says, go to school, get a job, get your PhD, get your master's and all this, and, you know, fly for the airlines as a, employee. And my rich dad, the first thing he said to me is, says, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, two things, you have to learn how to sell. So I got a job with Xerox, not because I want Xerox machines. I had to learn how to sell. And second, I had to take real estate. And he says, if you don't understand real estate, you'll always be poor.
Yeah.
Because the purpose of a business is to buy the real estate. And I've never forgot those lessons. And that's why the rich keep getting richer, but the poor middle class keep sending their kids to school. They learn nothing about money. And then the people say, well, live tax debt free. I'm going, are you kidding me? If we all went debt free, the economy would collapse.
I know.
What happens if I stop drilling for oil? The economy would collapse and get even worse. What happens if we stop building housing? There'd be more homelessness. And that's what the government gives us, tax breaks.
Yep.
I mean, it's just not, you don't just go out and buy a piece of property. I highly recommend studying and learning why and what makes a property good or bad. And that's all Kenny and I are doing right now. Rich Dad World is about freedom.
Yep.
You're about freedom, but it takes education. Right. So anyway, thank you all for listening to this program.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I appreciate you all.
Yeah. Thank you. There's nothing more important than your education. So thank you for listening to Kenny's podcast here and Rich Dad's World.